Good morning again, and welcome once more to each one here this morning. Very glad to have each of our visitors here. Welcome to the service with us. Good to have Dad and Mom back again. Joshua, good to have each of you here this morning. I really appreciated the service so far. I happen to know that because of this, the Murray's Farm emergency, Joseph found out just before church started that he was going to have the opening. And I just hope when I grow up, I can stand up and preach spontaneously like that, but it's not there yet. I appreciated the thoughts Jared had to share this morning on thankfulness and also the songs that we sang. And what Joseph shared on fear, I've got so much to process in my mind right now from what he said that I'm not sure if I can speak or not. But it was a tremendous inspiration and also just a challenge. Thinking of fear, my brothers helped me as a younger man, face my fear of the dark by leaping out of dark places at me. And helping me realize that when things leaped out of dark places at me, it was probably just my brothers. And so after a while, it should be okay. Doesn't mean I still didn't react. But I'd like to talk about something this morning that, and I think that God in his omnipotence and omniscience orchestrates things. And I believe that He brought this to Joseph's heart and what I have to share to my heart because they correlate very well. What I would like to talk about is peace in thankfulness, the peace of thanksgiving. Number of years ago, sorry, I'm just going to apologize ahead of time because I know I'm going to get emotional. But a number of years ago, I was walking down a little dirt path with a crowd of little boys and girls that were wanting to take me to visit their village. It was on a little island right at the top of the Bay of Bengal. And the population that was on this island, a lot of them weren't there by choice. They had been driven there because it wasn't a desirable place to be. Close to the bay, there were strong tides that washed in every day. At the top of the Indian Ocean, perfect place for cyclones to come roaring through. Lots of saltwater incursions. It was a difficult place to grow crops. They were driven there because they were a marginalized population. There was a lot of Hindus that were driven there by the Muslims from the mainland, as well as Christian and animist groups. And drinking water was a big, big problem. Getting fresh drinking water. And these little children wanted to take me to show me their water supply. And they were terribly excited. Because an aid organization had come in and drilled a well for them. Put up a big plastic tank so that they had a holding tank for it. And now they only had to walk like maybe half a kilometer to get fresh water. When I got there, there was a little girl I don't know, maybe this tall. I don't know how old she was because with genetics and also malnutrition, our size comparisons aren't quite the same. So I'm not sure how old she was, but she couldn't have been more than 8 or 9. And she was getting water into a big tin, kind of a bucket shaped thing that they carry on their hips. And she had a little baby with her, a little brother. He could just walk. And she loaded that thing up with water, and she was so happy. She went staggering down the path, just about bent double, but carrying this water. And the children just came thronging around, showing me this beautiful well that they had. They could turn the tap, and a little trickle of water came out. They were explaining to me that you don't waste this water. You don't turn the tap on unless you have something that's under there so that none of the water gets out on the ground. You don't use this water for washing your clothes. You don't use this water for the garden. This is just for drinking. And they were so excited about it. Nearby, there was a large, dirty pond. And that's where they took their baths, was in the dirty pond. This clean water is just for drinking. They were so happy about it, so thankful. They said over and over again the name of this aid organization. They said, oh, we just thank them. We just thank them. And they didn't know that I could go to my house, turn on the tap, get as much water as I wanted, whenever I wanted. I didn't have to walk half a kilometer. I only had to walk a few feet. And I didn't tell them. But many times since then, when I turn a tap, I think of those little children. And I thank God for that simple blessing of having water and having it readily available. What struck me so much about these children is they had next to nothing. Their homes were made of mud, and not even mud bricks, just mud. They would pile mud up and smooth it over. They would stick bamboo in there every now and then as an extra support, so they could put a door or hang a curtain across for a door. Their roofs were made out of palm fronds. Every time it rained or a monsoon came through or a cyclone hit, they had to rebuild their houses because they would melt in the rain. But they were so happy because this well had been prepared for monsoon season, and the tank was built up on a concrete ledge, so when the rain comes, it doesn't mess up our clean water. Next to nothing, but they were thankful. And thankfulness brings with it peace. And I think that part of it's a peace that comes from acknowledging that we're not sufficient in ourselves. And in thanksgiving is the implicit understanding that we owe a debt of gratitude for something that we couldn't attain or didn't have ourselves. But that privilege that we have, the thing that we have to be thankful for, also carries responsibility. This fresh water tank that these little children had, that they were so thankful for, they understood the responsibility of not wasting it, making sure that it was used just for the things that it was intended for. And we're such a privileged people, such a privileged citizenry. We have enough money to be warm, to be fed. We've got extra besides. And I believe that we're responsible to God for those blessings. And thankfulness is the place to start, to use those privileges wisely and be thankful for them. And so I'd like to look at just kind of thankfulness in general, but then also looking at kind of the way thankfulness is looked at in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament. And one thing that I feel is important going into this is understanding that thankfulness is a state of mind. It's not a statement of welfare. Many thankful people are actively going through difficult, even devastating things. And the most encouraging people that I know are ones that have faced terrible difficulties in their lives and maybe even currently are going through unimaginable pain. And Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 14 and 15, where he says, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." The context of this is one of persecutions. Right before this, Paul is saying, we're persecuted, we have this all going on. But then he says, the abundant grace through your thanksgiving brings glory to God. And that's something that's not a normal human response. And it can actually be a catalyst for people to believe, because they know it's not a normal human response for when you're facing difficult things. In the Old Testament, the concept of thanks often is translated as the word bless, where it says, for example, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land in which he hath given thee." That's the same word that's also translated thanks. And the Hebrew noun used for thanks comes from the same verb as to praise or simply confess. And I find that fascinating, because as you look at the sacrifices that God instituted, the thanks offering is a part of the peace offering. And so with this word being to praise or confess, we find that we're thankful when we're clear. If we have pure hearts, if we've confessed our sin and we're open before God, that's when we can be thankful. When something is blocking our relationship with God, that's when we find it difficult to be thankful. And I find it fascinating that God understood that about thanksgiving as it pertains to our hearts, and instituted that in the thanks offering. But in the New Testament, the word that's tied with thanks is grace. And in some places, it's translated directly. The same word, charis, is grace, but it's translated as thanks. We often hear people say about giving or saying grace before a meal. That's where that comes from. So in the Old Testament, thanksgiving was shown by sacrifice, but in the New Testament, it's shown by our lifestyle. It's still a sacrifice, but it's our lives now. In both, Christ is the object and center of our thankful praise. And I'm not looking to compare between the Old Testament and the New Testament here, but I'd like to look at the harmony in which they depict our thanksgiving as being an offering to God. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 7, if you'd like, I'm just going to read a couple verses there about the peace offerings, the thanks offering. Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering unleavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning." So here is a literal thanks offering. And There's various places in the Bible that talk about sacrifice of praise or sacrifice of joy in the Old Testament, and usually that's actually referring to the specific sacrifice. But in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So we see that change over from being a sacrifice that we offer in things to the sacrifice that we offer in our lives. But in these sacrifices, that was where people met with God. When they brought a sacrifice, they were, in essence, coming to God's table. They were coming close to him. And it reminds me of that verse from James that says, "Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you." Then it says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinner, and purify him, ye double-minded." When we come close to God, as they did with these sacrifices, he'll come to us. Now, in this sacrifice of the peace and the thank offering, they were to use unleavened bread, which leaven is a type of sin. And here in James, he says the same thing. He says, if you want to come close, you have to take care of sin. So the things that are blocking your thankfulness are sin. And that needs to be purged before you can give thanks to God out of a pure heart. Confession of sin is an acknowledgement of the holiness of God. And thankfulness is an acknowledgement of his goodness. And each time that God's name is used, whether it's in confession or whether it's in praise, it's an acknowledgement of his glory. And that's why cleansing from sin was so important as part of this thanks offering. And this thanks offering, and maybe it's not as interesting to you guys as it is to me, but it's fascinating to me that this thanks offering is part of a larger group of offerings that were called the Shelamim. And what that meant is these were offerings that were to make up, to supply, to recompense, to make up a deficit for something. And so it was to express a state in which situations were resolved, not just between you and God, but between you and the people around you. So if you couldn't be thankful for the people around you, you couldn't offer this sacrifice because you could not come with a pure heart. And the meat of this specific sacrifice was to be shared with family, with friends, with Levites, and also with widows and fatherless on the same day as the offering was given. And in that, I see making haste with reconciliation. Is there something that's standing between you and God, or something that's standing between you and another person so that you cannot be thankful for that person? Get reconciled immediately. Because if that is standing in between you and a person, it is also standing between you and God. So make haste with reconciliation. But also, I think it's pointing that joy, when we are thankful, benefits those around us. It spreads out to our family. It spreads out to our friends. Rather than being a darkness and a damper on our circle of influence, we're a joy and a light to them. We're a benefit. We feed them, not take away from them. And in the Psalms, of course, Jared read a number of Psalms this morning. Thanksgiving is a prominent theme. Talks about giving thanksgiving just as an individual. David said in Psalm 116, 17 and 18, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." And from the context, it's clear that David is talking about this thanks offering. So he said, "I will pay my vows." As part of those peace offerings, there was also a vow that was given with it. And so when David says, "I'm going to give God the sacrifice of thanksgiving," he was actually giving a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, in the context of Hebrews 13, we understand that as being our lives. But It sheds a little bit more light on this when he says, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. David was making a public declaration of his relationship with God. He's saying, I'm thankful for God. I want everyone to know that I am clear. I can be thankful because I am clear. So that's where the peace of thanksgiving comes in. Because as we confess, as we give ourselves to God, and as we take care of reconciling with people around us, we have peace and we can be thankful. Now, David also talks about communal thanksgiving, and Jared read Psalm 100 this morning, so I'm not going to read that, but that's talking about thanksgiving as a group. We come together, we thank the Lord for his blessings to us. And it's interesting to me that in the Old Testament, thanksgiving was so important that there were actually Levites who were specifically dedicated to that. That was their job. You are to lead us in thankfulness. David had some men like that. It says in 1 Chronicles 16, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. That was their job, is to just make sure that God was being thanked. How dedicated are we to thankfulness? An occasional, when something goes my way, I liked what Jared said this morning, that often we get thankful for things or something that affects me immediately right now. I'm thankful when it rains when I want it to rain. I'm thankful when I can keep my vehicle clean and it doesn't get splattered on a muddy road. And those are hard things to have at the same time. But that's often what we kind of attribute with thankfulness, is actually not thankfulness, but happiness is what we say that we're looking for there. When we get a thing that gives us a little jolt of joy, that's happiness. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about praising God, thanking God for who he is and what he's done in our lives. Nehemiah talks about it in several places, that it says that he had some of the Levites with their brethren to praise and give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God. So it was something that was carried on, and that was more generally as a choir. But Nehemiah also had someone, a man named Mattaniah. He said he was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. His job was when the people were gathered together, he was going to lead them in a prayer of thanksgiving so that each one would come to God with that thankfulness. And we see the same theme in the New Testament as being commanded, really, to be thankful. Ephesians 5 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How is that possible to give thanks in all things? Is it possible? I believe it is if our thankfulness stems from the redemption of our souls, not the circumstances of our lives. I don't think that means that we have to be thankful for everything that happens to us. But we're thankful that we can have access to God in spite of those things that happen to us. And thanks to God, it says in Colossians, is part of what guides our actions. It says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God and the Father by him. We're, of course, instructed to give thanks for our authorities. And each gospel account of Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes mentions him specifically giving thanks, blessing the food. And it's a feature of Christian homes that we give thanks or bless a meal. And it's simply, again, a recognition of what God has given us and our thankfulness for it. In that offering of thanksgiving, there was what's called a heave offering. And essentially, that was lifting it up, raising it. And it was a symbol of setting it apart, using this for something specific. And it was often the right shoulder or the thigh. And if you think about that, that's where power lies. When Isaiah talks about Jesus, the government being upon his shoulder, means Jesus had the authority. He had the power. So lifting that part of the offering is a symbol of us using the gifts God has given us, the good things that God has given us, and consecrating them to him, giving them back to him. And then, what was that meat used for? It was to bless everyone around us. So our thankfulness is essentially us taking the things that God gives us that maybe we don't always even think about as being thankful for, because it's not a thing that makes us happy. Maybe it's a responsibility, actually, that God has given us, and using it, giving it back to God, and using it to bless the people around us. Also, we see Jesus, this would have been after his crucifixion and resurrection, as he was taking a meal with the men who had been on their way to Emmaus. Says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And I think this is a beautiful depiction of what prayer and thankfulness does. After the prayer, after the thanksgiving was offered for this, their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. And I think that's what thankfulness does for us. It opens our eyes so we can recognize God at work, where maybe before we wouldn't have seen it. When we thank him for what he's done for us, our perception of his work in our lives is sharpened, and we can see him working where before we did not see him working. And in Romans chapter 1, it talks about those who do evil, and it says they have darkened hearts, and one of the descriptions about gives about them is that it says they're not thankful. So it's clearly something that God places a high priority on. But sometimes we wonder, well, I don't know if I have reasons to be thankful. And we teach our children to say thank you, to be thankful for food. And there's a little girl that I knew, she's not so little anymore, who was instructed firmly by her parents that you always say thank you for the food, even if you don't like it. When we go to someone's house and they serve food, even if you don't like it, you always tell them thank you for the food. And so they were sitting at the table passing the food around, and she hadn't even got the food yet, and she said, "This food is so delicious, thank you." And she hadn't even tasted it yet. She apparently was feeling a little bit skeptical about whether or not she would enjoy it, so she thought it would be good to get the thanks out of the way. But there's many times I think that we have to look at what we're thankful for, and maybe it reveals something about our hearts. And in looking at the scriptures that pertain to thanksgiving, I'm struck by how many of them are accompanied by dire predictions or current dilemmas or past trauma. And the prevailing theme I see is that through all the vagaries of life and just the crushing disillusionment of human frailty and failure, God is always near. He doesn't cause or condone human suffering, but he does call us to see him through the haze of hurt and hatred that envelops the world. And he calls us to look at him from a pure heart. And when we can look and see him and see his loving hand of mercy and redemption that's extended to us, even when we're in those situations, we can focus on that thought that he is worthy of praise and thanks for redeeming us from sin. I'm going to read just a few verses that talk about bringing thanks to God. And like I said, many of these were in times of actual difficulty. Jeremiah, it says, "And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that shall make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." And Ezra, "And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, For his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And the context of that, again, was that the temple had been destroyed. But they were thankful that they could rebuild it. In Isaiah 51, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. And I think as we look around us, we see that the people that care about us, those people are a cause for thankfulness. I think about Paul, where he was in chains and under guard, and the Roman soldiers were taking him away. And a number of the brethren came out. It says they came and met him at a certain place. And when he saw them, he thanked God and took courage. What did those brethren do to help Paul? Did they release him from his chains? Did they rescue him from the soldiers? Did they berate the soldiers and make them feel like they were doing something wrong, that they shouldn't be doing this? They simply showed up and encouraged him by their display of support. And that when actions that we do for each other serve to bring glory to God, that's a reason for thanksgiving and for thankfulness. And when our actions bring comfort and cause others to thank the Lord, that's part of the peace of thanksgiving. And our thankfulness can create a cycle in which God is glorified more than he would have been otherwise, because as people see us being thankful, perhaps it will help them to look at their lives and realize that there's things they need to look at to be thankful about, and that circle can simply grow. That's not why we do it. We don't do it so that other people notice or feel good about themselves. But God can work in our lives and in other people's lives as well. But of course, the redemptive work of Jesus is our primary reason for thankfulness. And I was struck by the thought that Preacher David had last Sunday, where he said, What were they thankful for, the ones that were healed by Jesus, who had their sins forgiven? The healing happened for their lifetime, but the forgiveness of sins is going to be an experience for eternity. And that made me think, what am I thankful for? Is it the things that just affect me right now? Or is it the things that actually are going to make a difference for me in eternity? And thinking of the redemptive work of Christ, I'm just going to read some verses of that. Romans 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And two of those verses, thanks, where it said thanks be to God, that was the word charis. That's also translated as grace. So recognizing that our thanks to God is simply an acknowledgement of his grace to us. And that's the true piece of thanksgiving, God's unspeakable gift in his own Son, given to us for our atonement, so that we can have a realization of the peace that comes only through confessing and forsaking our sins. Thankfulness is that spontaneous response to the, what it calls here, the triumph in Christ. The thankfulness that comes from victory over death itself, eternal life assured for all who come to God through Christ. So what is my perspective? Am I thankful only for the things that benefit me now, or for those that have far-reaching benefits? Does my current trial have the potential to be the means of healing for someone else, through my acceptance and thankfulness for God's redemptive work in my life. And thankfulness also brings with it intrinsic blessings, in that it can be a practical help to others. A thankful person is an encouraging, helpful person. A thankful person is one, in Colossians it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's nothing that I have done that's going to get me to that great white throne. So I give thanks to the Father that He's given us a way to be partakers of that inheritance. And I love that word picture of the saints in light. So in conclusion, I'd like to read just a couple more verses from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Safe in God's mighty hands. That's the peace of thanksgiving. Let's kneel for prayer.